Well, some developing news this afternoon. Israel's military has started moving Palestinian civilians out of Rafah in southern Gaza ahead of an expected ground invasion. More than a million Palestinians have fled Rafah to escape fighting elsewhere in the Gaza Strip. It comes as prospects for a ceasefire appeared slim at the weekend as Hamas reiterated its demand for an end to the war in exchange for the freeing of hostages. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu flatly ruled that out. Tova Lazarov is the Deputy Managing Editor of the Jerusalem Post and joins me now. Welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Netanyahu vowed over the weekend that Israel will proceed with an offensive in Rafah, with or without the deal. Of course, the IDF has since announced that it's moving civilians out of Rafah's east. I suppose, is this the indication that the offensive is imminent, if not already begun?
Well, you want to think of this as a very complex operation. Israel has been training for it for months. And before it can do anything, it has to move the civilians out. And that's not something that happens in like a minute or even a day. So as the talks continue to drag on, or it maybe even seems like they're not actually going to work, Israel is already getting ready for that operation. It doesn't mean you're going to see a military operation today or maybe not even tomorrow. It just means that Israel wants to be ready to go the moment that the talks really fall apart.
Governments across the world, as you'd know, including Australia, have previously expressed grave concerns about this planned invasion. Is this the end game for Israel's war in Gaza?
Well, the end game is to get rid of Hamas. And right now, the one area where Israel has not gone after Hamas is Rafah. According to Israel, there's four remaining battalions there and that they cannot finish the war. They cannot get rid of Hamas unless they go in there. And while it's true that there are many, many objections to it and a lot of concerns, including obviously humanitarian costs, civilian costs, all those governments that are opposed to Israel doing this, also many of them agree that Hamas shouldn't remain in power once the war is over. No one actually has put forward a plan as to how Hamas will not be there. But all plans about moving forward, what they call the day after for Gaza, doesn't include Hamas. There's just no way to get there. So the only way to get there right now that appears to be on the table is this way. And hanging in the background, of course, would be, you know, American efforts to do a Saudi deal, which there needs to be a normalization deal with Israel, which would again get back to not having Hamas in Gaza.
I mean, every IDF representative that I've spoken to on this program hasn't been able to give an idea of how many Hamas fighters there are in Gaza. I'm not sure if that's because of operational reasons or because they just don't know. But, I mean, what's your understanding of how many Hamas fighters might remain?
I do not know. I know they talk about four battalions, but I think that every step of the way, you know, Israel has encountered more Hamas resistance than they've imagined. So I imagine whatever the vision is, it probably is even more than that. But I would have no way of assessing those numbers for you.
Ceasefire talks continue this week. What do we know about the latest offer on the table?
Well, the idea is that it would be a three-phase deal. Okay, and I just want to stress, you know, that this is, you know, according to media reports coming out of the Arab media, but there was Al-Akhbar, I believe it's a Lebanese paper, that published what pretty much people have accepted to be the details of the proposal. It's a three-phase proposal. The first phase would include releasing 33 out of what is 132 remaining captives. That's down from the original 252. And those 33 would be the female captives, including female soldiers. It would be elderly, those who are sick, wounded, and they would be released over 40 days in batches of three every 3 days in exchange for, you know, Palestinians held in Israeli jails on security or terror-related charges. And in case of say the soldiers, for example, you know, they would be releasing terrorists who had already been charged with killing Israelis or other civilians. And then in the next phase, which would be another 40 days, that's where you would see the remainder of the live hostages come back. And the third phase, also 40 days, that's where you would see the return of the bodies of all those who have been killed. So essentially what you're talking about is a pause in the war for 120 days, which the U.S. hopes to sort of morph into a ceasefire in which it has some amorphous plan to get rid of Hamas that is yet to be unveiled. The sticking point in the talks has been that, you know, what Hamas wants, obviously, is a permanent end to the war and to be able to stay in Gaza. And for Israel, that is just a non-starter.
If you've just joined me, it's 12 minutes away from 5. Tova Lazarov is the deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post. Of course, as a member of the Israeli Press Corps, I'm curious to get your take on this separate development. The Israeli government voted unanimously on Sunday to ban Al Jazeera, with police raiding the media company's operations in East Jerusalem shortly after. What was the reasons that the Israeli government gave for this ban?
Well, I think it was last month, the Knesset passed a law that would allow it to ban organizations, you know, that were acting, not against the state, but were endangering the state more. And I guess Israel has long seen Al Jazeera as a biased anti-Israel news organization.
Because it's funded by the Qatari government? Because of
I hope I'm going to answer you and then you can jump in for a second. Yes, I mean, I think the fact that it's funded by Qatar, a country that also hosts Hamas, and which Israel does not have relations with, has always been a problematic element for Israel. But the reality is that Hamas has also been heavily involved in mediating a deal. And therefore, I think the fact that it decided to move against it partially goes to the fact that it really doesn't think a deal is going to happen, and then there's no reason to hold off. But when Israel went into Gaza, they found documents which they say show links between Hamas and Al Jazeera, including they had one journalist who they said was both a journalist and a commander in the Hamas forces. So I think that they're looking at things that are, you know, slightly one step up just from, you know, funding by Qatar or, you know, bias against Israel in the coverage. But just, sorry, one last thing, but it is also true that the Association for Civil Rights in Israel has turned to the Supreme Court and is challenging this precisely under freedom of the press. Okay, now go with your question, sorry.
Well, I think you've more or less answered it. I think the likelihood of the Israeli government believing that the Qatari government will play a major role in ceasefire talks seems to be eroding by the day.
Yes, I mean, I think they are playing a role. I think Israel doesn't believe that Hamas wants to make a deal. I think it feels like it's put a proposal on the table that Hamas is dragging this out as long as it possibly can. And therefore they've kind of, whereas maybe a month ago they would have said, well, you know, we don't want to alienate the Qataris. Okay. The Qataris have actually been working to see a deal. Now they're just like, yeah, this just is so not happening.
Well,
Hamas is
there,
just playing for as much time as it can get.
Many thanks to you, Tova Lazarov, the Deputy Managing Editor of the Jerusalem Post. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Bye.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.